is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good afternoon. That's right, I am Chris Plunkett. I'm your host of the Disaster Recovery Hour. Tuesday, it's not a bad-looking day out there. I want to say thanks to Paul Faust from last week, 1-800-PREPARED.com. Talked about kits, about being prepared on a smaller scale, like the residential units that we see on a daily basis, or I do see it on a daily basis, and he as a volunteer first responder. He sees it when he gets a call. Again, thanks to Paul. Today's guest, we're going to be talking about larger scale losses and preparedness and contingency planning. We'll get to the guys. I'm very excited for this show. I think you guys will be excited of the intel that's coming out of there with the show. Let me give you the website for the comments page. It's drhradio.net. That's drhradio.net. And also there's the phone number. It's 1-800-962-1160. Definitely want to get you guys to call in and or go to the comments page. And also, if you wanted to talk about something that's relative in the disaster world that I might have some knowledge on, that's cool also. I do want to say congratulations to our great country with the capture, not capture, but the assassination of Osama bin Laden. Lots of rejoicing in the country. Our elite forces, Navy SEALs. I'm not a political guy, so I don't know all the proper terminology to use, but the guys came and conquered, and the resilience of our country, it's outstanding. It's 9/11 actually got me into the disaster emergency business. I had been hired just a week prior by a firm out of New York City. Good experience with that firm. And then I went some training and some field training over there in Jersey, when the towers were struck, and so 9/11 has a lot to do with me. So that I found a career that I have a lot of passion for. And if you listen to the past shows, and if you ever met me or known the two companies that I worked for, you know that I care deeply about mitigating damage and getting people's lives back in order, whether that's residential units or business or even municipalities. I've done work for municipalities. In times of disasters, their emotions run high. People kind of, they're being tugged in many directions because there's different areas of concern. I like to come in there with a game plan. I surmise the damage and the situation, and personalities need to be addressed. And it's been a good experience for me. Like I said, I'm lucky that I found this type of industry where I can sink my teeth into and put people's lives back together. I'm not a first responder. That's not what I'm pretending to be. But just after the guys, the first responders, the true heroes, they leave a site, and I'm fortunate to arrive on the site and try to put people back together. And which leads us always into this preparedness. My buddy last week, Paul Faust, was talking about, the show is, Disaster Recovery Hour. And he's like, I think that's good, but we usually consider about preparedness. And I do talk majority of the time, it's about preparedness. We don't talk post, we're talking prior, the things that you can do to mitigate damages after the fact happens. And having a plan in place is, like I say, it alleviates a lot of anxiety, a lot of guesswork, the vulnerability that you are, that the state of vulnerability that you're in is very disconcerting, because it's, that's when people seem to take advantage, and there are definitely people in this world who take advantage. I think 9/11 is a perfect example of taking advantage of a great country that we live in here, and the liberties that we give others. So with that, I definitely won't go a little too further with the political end of it. But congratulations on our U.S. forces, and I'm hoping this is the beginning of the end of getting our guys, our men and women, out of harm's way throughout the world, over there in the Middle East and the far, far east over there in Afghanistan and even Pakistan, who's considered a friend of ours. It's kind of shaky ground there, in my opinion. Then again, there's a disclaimer at the beginning of this program, says that the opinions are not of the station, it is the host. So it gives me a little leeway to talk about some of the things that I want to talk about. Again, it is my program. You know, I want to talk about another thing just quick before we bring in my guest today. I've been reading a little bit about disaster planning in some of the local papers, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So it comes on the heels of some of these articles I've been reading. It's truly amazing. The percentages of people and businesses who don't have these plans in place. It's not time consuming if you break it down into small bites. And that's how I look at when I get to a site. I don't try to encompass everything and try to formulate the plan for everything. I take steps. Okay, I've been trained to do it that way. It's more palatable for the business owner or for the homeowner. And I'm holding their hand and I'm bringing them back to where normalcy can start producing, if you will, whether that's goods and services or it's or just living in your own home. I just finished a project not too long ago, and the people are back in their home. They're back to normalcy, and it's really a very satisfactory feeling for me because I've become very friendly with them. Very good people, and again, you know, in times of disasters, after a fire or a flood or a collapse or, you know, impacts of automobiles, and, you know, these losses that that I see or other companies, they happen all the time. It's amazing the amount of losses that occur that a lot of people don't realize that they're happening on a daily basis. But for me, it was gratifying to see that, okay, you know, they got their stuff back in, the place looks good. They can take a shower in their own place. Those are the kinds of things that I look forward to. So with that, like I said, I was very pleased about the final results on that. This disaster planning that's very much in the forefront, and it's it doesn't get enough credit. And with my guests today, we talked about an hour before. We probably could use another hour. After today, another couple of shows. These guys are just a plethora of information. One of the guests is Harvey Avatan. He also owns his Risk Managers Inc., and that's out of New York City. And there's also Andrew Weisberg. Excuse me, sorry about that. He owns the Bear Group, Bear Group Inc. And these guys have a lot of stuff. I just listened to them a little while ago. I'm just picking up information that I didn't know, and I've been doing this for 20 years. So I want to go to a quick station break, and this is Disaster Recovery Hour, and this I'm Chris Plunkett. We'll be back a little bit.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
Katie Valentine's new UFO show. Watching strange visitors that come and go. The UFO show with Katie Valentine. We're gonna travel through space and rocket through time. Exploring what is possible, examining what is logical. Could we really be here all alone?
Are we really out here all alone? Find out on the UFO show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
Hey, welcome back. This is Disaster Preparedness Recovery Hour. I'm getting a little smoother with that phrase, that title. I'm Chris Plunkett. I'm your host. It's every Tuesday between 1 and 2. Today, you're joining me in the station at WVNJ AM 1160. Let's plug that also. Is the owner, Andrew Weitzberg, who is the executive and VP and CEO of the Bray Group, Inc. Did I get that right?
You got that right.
You know what? Every show I say something. You know, my mother must be saying, gee, what's wrong with that boy? He used to be able to read. And then there's also Harvey Baton from Wristmaskers, Inc. Both gentlemen are associated with the Association of Contingency Planners. Andy's in the New York Metro branch, right? Harvey, you're in the New York Metro branch. And there's also, and Andy Weitzberg is the president of the Long Island chapter of ACP is what we'll tag it at this show. It's the Association of Contingency Planners. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for having us, Chris.
Contingency planning is a larger larger scale protocol than what I do on a daily basis. I'm generally dealing with small business owners and or residential people, and you know I try to tell them what they should be doing again for their personal residence or their the mom and pop stores. Occasionally, I've got some large losses in New York City, but I get assistance from the engineers of those buildings, and Harv, you're aware of that, the large buildings over there. Guys, why don't we start Harvey? Why don't we start with you? Why don't we get some background on your chapter? And some of the things that you guys have been doing, and then we'll move over to the Long Island.
Okay, thank you. Well, the New York Metro chapter of the ACP has been around for, a decade at least. We have members that are various industries. Some come from the financial aspect, obviously. Some are insurance. Some are education. We've got a partnership with the Metropolitan College of New York City. So we work with the folks that come out in the emergency management training area. We've got people from New York government, New York City government, other governments as well, and the insurance industry, and just a bunch of consultants that come together and we share information.
Now, Harvey, you were downtown. You had an office in the trade centers, and now being the Metro chapter of the ACP has been around for 10 years. Did that come on the heels, or was it prior to that? Because I still run into people today who don't have contingency plans in play, or don't even actually know what they are. Is that something that came off of 9/11?
Well, in my particular case, it came out of 93 because I was in the Trade Center in 93 as well. My prior career was in IT and systems work, and that was the disaster recovery pieces of you wondered how the automation was going to, and the systems were going to work. But then I got involved more into the business continuity end, where after the hardware is in place and the systems are in place, you have to think about the people, the resources, the facilities, all the rest of that.
Okay, Andrew, how about yourself with the Long Island chapter, you being the president? I can only guess that you have a plethora of people in your proverbial toolbox for contingency planning also.
I do, thank you. Our members consist of vendors, company executives or personnel who deal in business continuity planners, educators, and people from emergency management from the municipal side. So we try and bring everybody together so you have the public-private partnership, because emergency management most of the time just looks at it. They're there for life and safety. The business community, if the business community doesn't survive, then there are no jobs for the people to come back to. And people like to work and make a living, and it's part of the recovery process of any disaster.
Right. I mean, preparedness, contingency preparedness, we were talking before the show, let's use this present day example is Japan. And their contingency plans, if they had some, there's a lot of manufacturing. They're already starting to give us the heads up that, listen, there's going to be supplies that just aren't going to be coming to America because we can't produce them over here. Those are the kinds of things that need to be in place. And those, your association, that's what you're trying to get the message out. Not trying. You've been doing it for the association was in court, 1983 or something along those lines.
Correct.
And the Metro being 10 years into the game. There's a passion there because we're all part of this picture. You know, I always say the world is flat, and it definitely is. We're all part of this pizza pie. So contingency planning for business, because again, right, we want to make money, we need to pay our bills.
Absolutely, especially over the last decade or so, when companies have looked to save money by reducing the amount of suppliers, going to sole source suppliers, or lean manufacturing, that means there's no inventory sitting there. You're planning to get in the next shipment as you need it. And unless you have a plan, if that shipment doesn't get there, your production closes down. Ford Motor Company is having a problem right now because they don't have the pigments for red and black trucks that comes from Japan. Circuit board manufacturers are seeing a problem because the film used to make circuit boards comes, 80% of it comes out of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just two examples.
Now, Harvey, anybody listening out there, we're not talking about, you know, Fortune 500 companies, or we are, but we also, there's contingency plans for, again, the small mom and pops, the deli or the coffee shop or the pizzeria that's in a strip mall. And there's an incident that happens in a strip mall. You guys have established some plans, and these people could call any local chapter that they're facilitated by, how would that come into play?
Well, if you can contact the chapter, and now we have a number of chapters across the country, and there's also an ACP National that handles a lot of consultants like we are. That would actually work with the folks and help them decide what type of plan they need. Now, one of the issues when you're talking about business continuity is it's not just the businesses. We've got government as well. And in the government side, they're calling it continuity of operations. And basically, it's a better name because what you're doing is continuing the operation that you have on a normal basis. And as I said earlier, people start with the disaster recovery and worry about their systems technique and the technology, and then you have to look at the operational side, what keeps the business in place, and you sort of change the perimeter and widen the perimeter every time to encompass a little bit more. And as Andy was saying, now supply chain is getting much more important because you have to start considering not just what affects me but affects my operation internally, but now where do I get my supplies from? What do my customers do? And now you've got the whole supply chain issue.
Right. Now the associations are about 80%. You have bylaws, about 80% of the same, but then it's modified. Now the island is, like we talked about, it's flat. You get a lot of high percentage of flood zones. So you have, your details are a little different than say Harvey's in the city. I would imagine with Harvey there would be more of a displacement of employees, obviously, because everything is vertical. It's not wide like on the island. So some of the things that you encounter that you don't encounter but you're recommending for the people on the island are such as what, Angie?
Well, to protect themselves and plan for the next major hurricane. We have it right now where we had a tough winter. We had several nor'easters come up during the winter. During the summer, those become hurricanes. And those hurricanes, as Bill Evans from Channel 7 said at a seminar last year that I went to, we're due for another big one. We haven't had a major hurricane in the New York metro area since 1938. And that helped cut the Shinnecock Canal in Long Island. And fortunately, it was not a well-populated area. Today, in Long Island, you have 5 million people. That's a lot. I'm sorry, 3.5 million people in Long Island, and between Queens and Brooklyn, there's another 5 million people. So there's 8.5 million people. If those waters come up, there's going to be quite an effect.
Yeah. If you just join us, Disaster Preparedness Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. 1-800-962-1160 is the phone number. And then also the comments page, that if you want to ask the guys any questions, is drhradio.net. That is drhradio.net. So in the association, let's use New York City. I'm very familiar with the New York City on the property side of disasters. Some of the things that that you're trying to hit home to, Harvey, or is it about the employees? Is it about the IT side? Which is where are they putting all their eggs? Or are they putting all their eggs in one area? Or is it a level playing field regarding severities?
Well, it's not a level playing field. Right now, most people are looking at the system side, the technology area, and the DR pieces. Not too many people are looking at the business and the people side of things.
I think we got a phone call. This is Chris Plunkett. Who's on the line?
Hi, this is Dawn, and I'm from Florida.
Hi, Dawn. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I've heard about your program, and I do have a question. Living in Florida, this is the home of hurricanes, and what I'd like to know is there a Florida-based Association of Contingency Planners?
Guys?
Dawn, absolutely. In fact, I believe there are three or four chapters in Florida. If you go to acp-international.com, that's
okay.
acp-international.com, and there's a location, find the chapter, you'll have the contact information for the 43 chapters we have around the country.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that.
Dawn, have you been down in Florida for a while?
Yes, I've been down here through Wilma and Jean and Francis, and so I'm very familiar with the devastation created by these hurricanes.
And I can assume that I was down there with the hurricanes in 05. We were talking about Ford and having issues getting paint. I remember not finding plywood for hundreds of miles, trying to board up homes and safe off the properties. Did you experience those issues as well?
Well, we were fortunate. We had the shutters, so that was not an issue. But I do have neighbors that went through that. They couldn't get a hold of any plywood.
And local businesses were shut down as well?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I know it took I was driving a used car that the company gave me some money to buy a used car, but I drove in like 60 some odd miles to get the car because the dealerships had no inventory.
Oh gosh.
When you talk about Wilma, one of our members from down Florida that I know at that time was the business continuity manager for Office Depot, and he put in plans. They had plans in place and they were there. Their employees did very well with it. They just had a loss of some property, but they looked to help the local municipalities with any materials they had and wanted to protect whatever else was left in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn, I appreciate your call, and thanks for listening down there. I guess you're listening off the I don't think we reached down that far, so you're on the computer, so I appreciate you listening. And Harvey, let's pick up where we left off regarding my question with the severities and where the eggs are in each basket over there in New York City.
Well, we started to talk about the fact that now people are looking at business continuity and the business operation side. But one of the other issues that I wanted to bring, we were talking about hurricanes as far as this area is concerned. However, we've just seen with some of the normal rains that we've had the last couple of weeks that's caused flooding, and that's not nearly hurricane strength. And flooding is an issue for not just large businesses, but small businesses, people as well, and you've got a lot of issues to consider on that end.
But now the management companies, are you dealing with management companies? You're dealing with, do you deal with the city OEM with this also? Are they looking for you for advice also?
Well, I personally deal with some of the people at the OEM, yes. I have some friends and some contacts in there, and I've run some exercises with the OEM.
So is it, did they give the information for reciprocating to make, for you, with your knowledge, to kind of like bounce back and forth of, okay, here's the private sector, here's the government sector, and there's different rules and regulations of how to displace government people, and there's certain files and things like that. I mean, I'm breaking it down to small little bites here, but some of those things, that would have to be part of some of your protocols, correct?
Yes, they do, but the New York City OEM has a public-private initiative that they have going forth. And they work with a lot of industry in helping them out in dealing with how to deal with an emergency. Mm. So they're very close to what happens with the businesses, and the ready.gov is available for people to take a look at. New York City has their own version.
Right, and then there's also, people can look up acpinternational.com. And
Dash International.com.
Dash International. Right. Let's, guys, we're going to go to a break. Like I always say, you got to pay a couple bills. Disaster Recovery Hour, Disaster Preparedness Recovery Hour. Chris Plunkett, CSI.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. CPP is the answer. CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, their seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, they've got answers. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
The money is all dried up, and the work is all gone. Don't want to go to the mailbox, don't want to answer the phone. Did I mention my baby left me? They're foreclosing on my
Attorney Michael Guidreau is the cure for your bankruptcy blues. With a bankruptcy success rate of nearly 100%, Michael Guidreau is an expert in bankruptcy, credit card settlement, and loan modification. For a consultation, call 201-837-7777. 201-837-7777. Call today and get rid of your bankruptcy blues.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least one in four businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Disaster Preparedness Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. It is a Tuesday, and it's about the bottom of the half of the hour at 1:30-ish. Today, Andrew Weitzberg and Harvey Baton both are have a chapter. One is in the New York metro area, and the other is Long Island. That is the ACP, the Association of Contingency Planners. And there's what? There's 4,300 chapters throughout the country?
There's 43 chapters.
Oh, 43 chapters. I'd say 4,300. That's a number that sticks in my head. Oh, that's the money I owe my wife. I'm sorry.
About 2,500 members.
About 2,500 members.
Yes.
How do you know? We'll talk about it at the end. But you had a pizza story because a lot of my listeners are of the residential and the small business owners. Some of the corporate guys can listen to me. I know some of my clients do listen to me. So let's talk about the small business owners where people can really feel it.
Yeah, this is one that was told to me by someone else. But there was a fire in a strip mall where there was a pizzeria. And, of course, my friend came up there, and the pizzeria was closed. The windows were darkened, but there was a sign, "We'll be open tomorrow." And he came back the next day, and fortunately for the pizzeria, they had no direct damage. It was all smoke, and you know what that's like, right, Chris. but the owner had a plan. And overnight, he was able to get in a crew, get the whole place cleaned up. He got the cooperation of the health department to come in and sign off for him. And by 6 o'clock the next day, he was putting out pizzas again. Because he had the plan of getting a cleanup, of going to the health department and getting them in to inspect it on an emergency basis and say, no direct damage, all I had was some smoke, got his suppliers to restock him, he was able to be back in business. That's what it's all about.
But that's a small percentage, correct?
It's a small percentage because of the companies, unfortunately, probably less than 50% of the companies, especially the small companies, have plans. If they don't have a plan, 20% will, after a week of being out, will never reopen their doors. And somewhere between probably 68 to 80% will be out of business within 2 years, even with business income insurance.
That's amazing. And I know those only stretch for quite a while, for a year or two or 24 months with the business interruption policies. Harvey, when you're talking to some of your clients or prospective clients, do you see, is there a resistance to it, or is it just listen, I don't have time for it? What do you see, what's a theme that most of these business owners that you try to get across? That I know when I see these residents, they some of them don't even have fire extinguishers in their homes. So what do you see?
Well, what usually happens is that people don't want to think about bad news. They don't want to think about the fact that there's maybe something that would affect their business or their homes. So once we get past that, we start thinking about the area that they're in, the neighbors that they have, if it's in a high-rise, what other offices are in the building, what's around surrounding area, and start to get them to understand that there are a lot of external issues that could affect their performance and their continuity.
So I know in most of when I worked in the city, I worked for a particular company, and we had a fire marshal, if you will, for that floor. And you know that there's the diagram by the elevators. And this is the little X where you are, but you're supposed to sign off. Once a month, you're supposed to do a drill. And it really is kind of that simple. If you took little parts, if you took an hour once a week, or an hour or 2 hours for a month, until you had this plan in effect, then you wouldn't be caught with the with that around your ankles. So it's people don't want to hear about bad news, but it's the reality of the situation.
It is the reality of the situation, and like I said, you have to explain to them what their exposures are, whether they want to believe it, but whether they want to understand it or not, and see that they can be affected by certain things like steam pipe exploding in the street, some infrastructure issues, some the police cordoning off an area for some reason or another, and they can't access their office.
Yeah, so now they're not generating dollars. They have employees that can't get to the building. You know, that's a that's money lost. That's an asset that's not producing for you. So having a backup plan, you know, working from home remotely, is there a backup plan for that? I mean, everyone has a computer, a laptop. You can produce.
Yes, but you'd be surprised how many people with laptops forget them in the office.
No.
And the other question is, will there be enough bandwidth from your internet provider to actually allow you to work from home? Cable companies and internet providers are only set up to handle a certain percentage of their customers at the same time. It gets a lot more complicated than that. That's not the best plan in the world. It's just part of a potential plan.
So you think the old stepping over a dollar to save a dime kind of situation is the...
I call it the ostrich syndrome. Mm-hmm. Stick their head in the sand and try to ignore it. It's a sad fact.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to my friend Dan. He's the captain in the fire department. They drill every third Thursday of the month. Now, you would expect that. They should be drilling. They should be doing that. But as a business, you know, there is no volunteer firemen or paid firemen or women, for that matter, if we're not collecting tax dollars. And to be out of business, you know, look at the amount of money they expected to generate from Xanadu down there in the Meadowlands. Place is just sitting. It's a graveyard, right? So they're projecting those dollar figures to come into the economy so they can infrastructure can get fixed and we can have emergency services and so on and so forth. And all of a sudden that vanishes. Because people are out of business and they're not putting money into the local municipality economy. Right. So it comes down to dollars and cents.
Chris, we're just seeing it. First of all, the federal government has, in the last 5 weeks, have declared six major disasters. The last one being the tornadoes down in Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee. A lot of people are not aware. Hyundai has a major assembly plant down there. Mercedes-Benz has a plant. That's only a couple of the big boys. What about all the small and medium-sized businesses, the shopping centers that were wiped out? Where are people going to get their jobs? How are they going to make a living? Yeah. Not just rebuild their houses. How are they going to live?
Yeah, I mean, we're all part of this pizza pie. If you just joined us at Disaster Preparedness Recovery Hour. I'm getting used to saying that. The WVNJ AM 1160. My guest today is Harvey Baton and Andrew Weitzberg. Andrew is the president of the Long Island chapter of Association of Contingency Planners, and Harvey is the media director.
Program director.
Program director, yes. Of the Metro New York City Metro chapter. Guys, we're talking about what we can do for businesses. Now, what about the government level? Now, I know you have some of your memberships are from the government, OEM guys, maybe Homeland Security guys. They bring in knowledge that the common, Joe citizen doesn't have. So that's which makes your job a little more enlightening to add to the toolbox when you're trying to educate your future clients.
Absolutely, but you have to remember something: in the emergency management people's first job is life and safety, mm-hmm. not the businessman. Their job is to protect the public, help the public have shelter, hopefully food, and go from there. So in New York City, emergency management is very involved in the business community. In other areas, they're not as involved.
Why would that be?
Well, in New York City, I think one of the reasons that the OEM is involved is because they've got a lot more at stake with the commercials, the industry that's there, the financial industry. It's not just a local issue; it's a worldwide issue. You've got the Trade Center, you've got the Stock Exchange, you've got a bunch of other things that are going on there. But one of the other issues that I sort of wanted to bring into play here is you had mentioned the fact of fire marshals and fire drills. One of the other avenues that industry can work in, or the businesses can work in, is doing exercises. There's a very simple exercise, doing a tabletop exercise. You have people around the board, and you around the room and the table, and you just go through scenarios. What would you do? What would you do when you expose a lot of gaps that are there, and people think that well, I think this is going to happen, I think that's going to happen, then you realize that if it does or it doesn't happen.
That's like basically what some of the times I talk to some insurance companies or management companies, it's a lunch and learn. You know, buy lunch, bring it in,
yeah,
and do the role-playing. We have a question from the web. It's Brian. Thanks, Brian. Are there companies that will make disaster plans for small businesses? Gentlemen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The same basics work for a small company as well as a big company. We have many members, as Harvey does, and we work from small companies, medium companies, and large companies. That's the whole idea. This is open to everybody. This is something that every size business needs to have.
Yeah, well, I would, small businesses probably say, you know what, these guys, they're dealing with, New York City, out in the island, big office developments and so on and so forth, but what, 80% of the GNP is produced by small business, right? I think 50 to 100 employees per business. It's not the Fords who are the major driving force of employment. It's a small business owner.
The last statistic I had was Long Island had almost 100,000 businesses of under 10 employees.
Wow.
So.
And then you were talking about the small businesses. The SBA has some good information on their website, the Small Business Administration, for small businesses on disaster recovery and issues that they might want to take a look at.
All right, Jay, there's another web question. Jay says, what are the average, asks, what are the average costs of putting together a plan? Now, I don't know what size, but is there an average cost, or is it they're all kind of custom?
There are a lot of issues that come into a plan, so you can't really just narrow it down as to cost, but I think people will realize that it's not as costly as they expect it to be.
In the insurance industry, someone who doesn't have a plan, or even matter of fact, with somebody not maintaining a hot water heater at their home, spend $800 for the hot water heater and a plumber to replace it, because it's man-made. It's going to fail at some point, maybe 7 to 10 years, whatever it may be. That's going to cost you $800. Now, don't maintain it. Flood out your finished basement that most likely I see more often than not has just been finished in the last year or two, and now you're talking at $25,000. Yes, the insurance company is going to probably pay for most of it, but now you're out of your room. Maybe possibly if it got contaminated with some old building components, now you have some issues along with it's not sanitary water, yada, yada, yada. And now you don't have a room for 6 months, or you actually have to get out of your house because it got inside the HVAC system. So having the preparedness and spending a couple of bucks, here or there, will offset what's really going to happen when a disaster happens.
And you can bring an expert in just to help you. You can use the ready.gov as your own outline and your own base, and just have an expert come in and check it for you. See if there's anything you missed. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, an extra pair of eyes, as we say, right?
Exactly.
Because they don't have a personal attachment to it, so they're seeing things on a business standpoint. This is what they gather intel from the person, the business owner. Where's your money being generated from, so on and so forth. We'll go to a commercial break, pick it up with the guys just after a couple seconds. Be right back.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated. a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat. At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have five new
messages. Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that Stanton proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Received dispatch, truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47, heavy fire showing from the ninth floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We're winding down. I guess we're turning the last quarter mile. And Disaster Preparedness Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2. The guys I have in the studio today are just like I am. They're into the preparedness and the contingency planning and trying to help people out move forward after a disaster happens and prior to that disaster happening. It's the key. Just like our guys doing the deed to Obama, they supposedly studied for this for 6 months. See, they were prepared. You know, no loss of life on our side, which was, thank God, a little knocking on wood. Winding down, so, and you know what, the guys will come back because there's a lot of intel out there that the three of us share that we can't squeeze into 1 hour. But one of the things we did talk about before the show, and which I really, really hits home for me, is C's. Harvey, why don't you tell me what C stands for?
Okay, C stands for Corporate Emergency Access System. And the reason they came about was after 9/11, there was a large perimeter in downtown that was closed, and people were trying to get into their businesses, and they were trying to talk to the authorities about getting access. And long story short, an organization called BNet decided to get involved and work with the law enforcement and some of the other officials and came up with something called the C's card, which one can get for various size organizations, and that will allow you access to areas that may be closed by the authorities for some reason or another. Now, you're not going to be able to access the area to do work while everybody else is out, but you do get access for a couple of hours or a little while to go into your area, turn off equipment, take any vital files that you may need, and come out.
Because that was, this came from... everybody had to get it, went through the tent down there on Chambers Street when you worked down in 9/11. Everybody had the badges. There was the different colored badges. So this was born out of that.
Yes, it was born out of that. The organization is www.ceas.com, and you can get a lot of information off the website and find out how to belong. There are a lot of metropolitan areas that... are accessing or have C's already involved. One is Bergen County in New Jersey, New York City, Boston and Cambridge, Erie and Buffalo counties, Nassau and Suffolk County in New York State, Stamford, Connecticut. There are a lot of areas that are being exposed to it right now, and it works, and it's really a good program.
Well, it would cut down on the, the tape, the yellow tape line, and the cops saying, "Get, you're not allowed," so on and so forth. these guys have already been, she or he has been screened. They're part of the building. They're part of that business. They're in. They're like you said, they're not in there typing away and checking emails. So they're doing, you know, A, B, and C very, very quickly and getting out of the zone, correct?
Yes.
And then it cuts down that red tape. Guys, it was, this kind of information I think the public needs to know. And you know what? If you're listening and say, hey, you know, especially in New York City, you said there's, 20,000 badges people already have for C's?
Right.
You know, that's in New York City alone. That's not the island. That's not over here in Bergen County or any of the other areas that we just mentioned. But the association, ACP, we got a little bit about the history. Let's try to knock it home, if you don't mind, Andy, with how people can contact their local chapter. What are the expectations they have for these chapters and what the, I mean, because it's almost a public service. It's really something they can sink their teeth into. Yeah, there might be some monetary exchanges here and there, but what's it? How do we make it to these people?
The easiest way to find the closest chapter to you is to go to acp-international.com. That's acp-international.com. You can find from there, you can find out where the local chapter is to you, and it'll give you some basic information. Most chapters will encourage you. They have meetings either monthly, bi-monthly, some of them are quarterly, depending on the area. New York City and Long Island both have monthly meetings. First meeting is usually free, unless in many chapters, unless they're having a lunch or dinner that you have to pay for, there's usually no charge for the first time you're there. And dues run from $50 to $100 per year, depending on the chapter. Manhattan and Long Island both have $100 per year. But once you're a member, you can attend any chapter's meeting in the country.
In the country.
Yeah. And then in Long Island, we've been around. This is our second year, and we're actually having our third business preparedness event because business preparedness is everybody's business. We've been doing this in conjunction with the Town of Islip Emergency Management folks. And it's great. We have a half-day event. It's free. If you go to the acp-international.com website and go down to the bottom of the first page, you will see a link to go to attend. We ask you to pre-register, please. It's from 8 in the morning till 12. We have some vendors there. We have speakers. It runs from – it's a half-day. Last year, we had over 100 people. I think we're going to surpass that this year. It's on May 13th, Friday, May 13th.
That's a good day, people.
Yeah, and it's it's being held at the Hyatt Regency in Islandia, New York, which is off of exit 57 of the Long Island Expressway. And I think you'll find it interesting.
I'm definitely attending.
Thank you. I look forward to having you there.
Without a doubt.
And check with your local ACP chapter. They all have events. They do education. You get to meet people. It's a great organization.
Listen, it sounds, besides the, it's a, pretty much the betterment of looking out for your fellow business owner, and you don't have to own a business to join, that's correct?
No.
Right?
No.
But you can the wealth of networking that goes on in those associations. I belong to a couple of them. I can honestly say, if somebody, you know, that old phrase, like, oh, but I don't do windows. You know what? I do windows. You know, in a euphoristic type of way. You know what I'm saying by that? I mean, I have somebody for something. If I have an IT problem, I have somebody now. You know, if I have somebody who about displacing of employees and they need to be housed for 3 months with phones, I'm going to have somebody out of the association. That's the beauty about the association. There's different disciplines of business and assistance. You know, for $50 or $100, are you kidding me?
Absolutely, and it's great. People enjoy it. They network. They learn, and that's the bottom line. You're always learning. If you keep going, if you go to the meetings, there are things that you will learn, and To be honest with you, that's how I got involved with this many years ago. I've been involved for about 10 years in these organizations. I was a member of the New York City chapter before I helped start the Long Island chapter. And I wanted to learn about this because we're susceptible.
One of the keys is that we always share information with everyone. So there may be, as you said, there may be an expert in one particular area, and then they share it with the other members, so you can always learn something new.
People, you know, like doing business with people they like, and they'll respect the recommendations. You know, your masons, your plumbers. I mean, that world is this, it's the same philosophy. It's like you ask your neighbor, who you do? Were you happy with them? Yes, I was happy with them. So, you know what? There's a referral. But it's just like in this disaster. You know, I have you guys now, you know, for the island, and you know, I have business associates out in Ronkonkoma who can assist you on the property end of it. So now, again, meeting friends and networking, and for the good of the public, keeping businesses, keeping municipalities moving forward, because we all need to generate money because we need to pay taxes. And I don't think we don't pay anything else but taxes. So no, I'm okay. Don't go and look at my house. I don't know. But Harvey, want a little sign off on your end?
Well, I just wanted to put in a plug of being program director about the programs that the Metropolitan Chapter in New York has. On May 19th, we have our monthly meeting at Metropolitan College this month with Steve Cremendo, who's the managing director of Extreme Behavioral Risk Management, and he's going to talk about forming accurate behavior assumptions in planning and responding and recovering from disasters and terrorism, because people don't usually have in their plans how to react on the people side. And our website is nycmetro.acp-international.com.
And the guys are going to give me banners to put on my website, so you can click and run with it. And that topic you just mentioned is a hit home for you, considering you were working downtown. Now, you worked in the trade centers, excuse me, yep. Especially with the first one in 93. Andy, we know about the May 13th, Friday the 13th, the good luck day.
Absolutely.
What else can we sign off with before we rock and roll?
Our meetings are usually always the second Friday of the month from September to June. We take the summer off, not the board, just for the members. Usually held at Adelphi University in Hop Hog, which they are a partner with us. And please, we are welcome. We'd love to see you and welcome you to become educated.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely in. I like going out to the island anyway. There's a nice, Vinny and Kevin always take me to dinner somewhere.
Oh. Especially this time of year.
Yes, yes. Guys, I appreciate you stopping in. And you know what? I'll give an update after the first meeting, which is the 13th, Friday the 13th. And I think you know, plans are... Oh, you know what, Harvey's got one more thing.
Yeah, just one more thing. If anyone wants to contact me at the Metropolitan Chapter, it's program@acpnycmetro.com. And Andy, how do they get in touch with you?
If you need to get in touch with me, you can go to president@acp-li.org. That's president@acp-li.org.
I think I can get Bill to put up some of that intel on my website. My website is drhradio.net. That is drhradio.net. Another outstanding show, gentlemen. Thank you for now becoming associates and networking friends and ACP-International. This is a Disaster Preparedness Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. The Osama thing, guys, anything else? We're going to about to hit that music.
Thank you very much, Chris.
All right, appreciate it. Let's end the war, bring home our troops, and God bless our country. Take care.
Absolutely.